Welcome back, everybody, to the What Are You Doing podcast, the next gen podcast of the Arizona Mission Network of Southern Baptists. I'm Andrew.
I'm John.
And I'm Josh.
And this week on our episode, we're going to be talking about collaboration, collaboration in ministry, collaboration between churches, specifically collaboration between youth groups and youth activities, youth events. So, Josh, you want to start us off? What are some of the strategies you've developed in your youth ministry for collaborating?
Do it? No, I mean, collaboration is so huge and necessary, especially if you have such a small group. I mean, even when we talked about like our first episode talking about relationships, we talked about the benefit of those things, and those benefits go past just relationships. It now becomes like a, hey, I as a youth minister am not necessarily capable of running a huge camp, and I can't even pay for it. But if I start partnering with all these other groups, we can do we can do winter camps together, summer camps together. We can do fall retreats and events and things like that. Like now we have this opportunity to partner together. So one of the best things that I've found in terms of strategies for collaborating is just start inviting a ton of people. Like I even think this last year with our winter camp, I didn't know everyone's strengths. I didn't know everyone's weaknesses. I didn't know necessarily what they were even wanting to contribute. Just inviting them, asking them then to contribute what they were able to, saying, hey, here's my list of needs, you know, as I'm looking at camp and working with a handful of other people and saying like, I need a handful of people to teach this. I need someone to organize a game. And then all these people can come out of the woodworks and say, yeah, I've got this game that I've got. I'm super passionate about this specific teaching. And now it's like, okay, I don't have to run the entirety of a camp. I'm not responsible for the entirety of an event. I don't even need to do, like, I don't even have to think about a game that I'm going to play this Sunday at youth group, because now I've started talking with these other guys that our ministries start kind of connecting, and these students start seeing each other over and over again, that they start asking about each other and filling in the gaps as we go. Now I can call up a handful of guys if we're getting ready for a camp or an event, and I'm like, hey, I know you're actually really passionate about this certain type of teaching, or I know your group like really thrives with this kind of event or ministry or something like that. Can I have you do just this one small part rather than the whole thing? And the camp or event or whatever it is just thrives even more so, because now we all get to contribute our strengths rather than having to pick up all the pieces as we're going along.
Yeah, that's huge.
John? Yeah, I was gonna say, I think even with that, you only get to do that if you bring everybody to the table.
Yeah.
I don't find out that you have a guy that's really passionate about games until I ask and invite you to it. And then I find out, oh my goodness, you guys have this guy, and this is someone who's going to love doing this, someone who's going to enjoy doing this. I don't find out that you have a really awesome, you know, worship leader until I bring everyone to the table. And when everyone's able to bring their strengths, we're all more successful. We make a better product for everybody to be able to enjoy. I could probably put on a pretty mediocre camp on my own.
Yep.
Pretty mediocre, that's the bar. Yeah,
but it would be done. We'd get it done,
right?
Yeah.
But when I invite other people in, you know, you come to realize, okay, this person has this strength, this person has this strength, and you only get that if you bring everybody to the table. If I decide, you know, I'm going to lead this camp and I'm going to be the one doing everything, I'm going to be the one managing everything, I got to hold on to everything tightly in my hands, I'm never going to find out what other people's strengths are, because I'm creating something for other people to consume. If I actually bring everyone together and everyone brings what they have, everyone brings their gifting that God's given them, there's such a better output. There's such a better thing for all the students involved.
And you're not dead at the end of the weekend or the event or whatever it is. Like, I've left some things where I feel like I've taken on too much. Mm. I'm just exhausted. I feel like I got to like take Monday, Tuesday off just to like recuperate and sleep in and stuff, you know. But there have been other times where we've got so many guys covering so many bases that, yeah, you know, an event can be stressful, and we want to do it right. And then we want to do it for not only for the kids, but for the glory of God as we're working through these things. And I leave the weekend feeling refreshed.
Mm.
And I feel good about how that went. And I feel like I benefited from it as well. Like just the fact that we invited somebody else into it that's willing to contribute, like that makes a world of difference. Yeah. And you can afford it. I wanted to reemphasize that. You can go to like, even we were working on a winter camp this year. I could not have personally afforded to send, you know, I think their minimum was like 85 or something. And if you don't hit 85, like we couldn't have used their facilities, or you pay the difference. Like, I couldn't have done that with my like 30 or so people that I took. But, you know, we hit 140 or something like that. Now those things are covered. Now we can actually do that. We can use their facilities more. We can use their like rope swings and extra activities. We don't have to buy as much food because they're buying in bulk, and like all these things start coming together, and it just like even financially makes more sense. Yeah. So
you can do more and you can do better together.
Oh, yeah.
Just the reality.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's one of the things I appreciate so much, and I have always appreciated so much about our network in Arizona, our Southern Baptist network, is that it's just an easy pre-built in network for us to be able to do ministry together. Right. We all love doing Zona together. Mm-hmm. It's one of the ways that we all got connected was doing Zona together. And that's just one example of where we get to do things with other youth ministries, with other churches all across the state that then we can develop afterward into a more regular throughout the year pattern of ministry. It's really neat for me to look back on this journey of us coming to be us, you know, looking back and KJ, we interviewed him a couple episodes ago about what he's doing out in Queen Creek, with Heart Cry Church. Well, he was my youth pastor before, here in Glendale. And so he was my youth pastor. And then, the youth pastor that he interned for mentored me as I was entering youth ministry. And then that same youth pastor, Josh, brought you on as his intern then. And John, you being out in Mesa and us getting to connect through Christian Challenge, and you beginning to do youth ministry out there in Mesa, and just this growing network of relationships that you know, I would point to us being part of this Southern Baptist network is a huge part of how that was able to happen. We all maintained that relationship because our churches cooperate together. So there's something almost pre-built in it where it's easy to collaborate. It's easy to do things together. We have the same mission. We have the same vision. And we're already reaching people the same way.
Yeah. I might not be teaching the same thing as someone else, like KJ out in Queen Creek, or I know we're talking to Jeremy out in Avondale or something. We might not be teaching the same thing. Our philosophy of ministry and how we do, you know, Wednesdays or Sunday nights or whatever, like might not look the same, but man, we're all in this network of Southern Baptists that I can look at a list, or I can, you know, meet someone at Zona and be like, hey, we could probably do some other event together and still do really well. We're not going to butt heads on a ton of stuff. And if we do, it's over like the color of a t-shirt rather than, you know, some deep theological issue or something like that. Right. Like we can come together with this pre-built in understanding that like we have the same goal, we have the same mission. Andrew, like what you were saying, like we're all working towards the same cause.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all have different experiences too. We have different backgrounds. So, mm-hmm. you know, just coming back to the strengths, it's okay, these guys are people that I know I can work with, I know I can collaborate with, I know we have commonality. They might teach in a way that's different than me, but we all, you know, on the essentials, we're all together, we're all on the same page. Being able to come together, being able to look and see these are people I can work with, and then now I can incorporate my students into this broader network. My students can be a part of this bigger thing, and recognize, you know, there's not just one of these churches. There's a bunch of these churches that are all working together. Yeah. There's a bunch of these churches that are all on the same mission. And then you get to see this broader, bigger picture of what it looks like to collaborate.
Yeah.
That's huge. On that note, let's unpack that a little bit more, not just as leaders in youth ministry, but what are some of the benefits of collaborating with other youth ministries, other churches for the students involved?
I love it, one, just to see my students interact with other students and develop those relationships. I know, like, I'll you know, start promoting an event, promoting a camp or something, and my students will come up and ask, like, hey, I've got a friend at this church, or are we working with that church? I want to see him again this year, you know, or they'll start asking, hey, how many churches are coming to Zona this year? And I'm like, dude, I don't know, but I'm probably a ton. They're probably there, you know. But the students benefit from it. And one of the things that I know I even like Sunday morning from the stage in big church have promoted is like we do these events so that our students see that there's other Christians in the area. There's other students that are going through and even wrestling with the same things that they are and yet are still being fed with the same gospel that you are. There, it's not just you against the world. It's this huge group of us. It's a group of students. It's a group of churches that you're a part of that are all going through similar things, facing the same obstacles, having the same fun at all these different things. Like to invite students into this idea of networking and working together, but also just recognizing that there are other churches and other communities of believers out there sets them up, at least in my opinion, sets them up for when they're adults and off on their own, either in like college ministry or later on in their life. Like, oh, hey, I don't have to go, you know, find, it's not a struggle to find a church that I'm going to agree with. There mm-hmm. are others out there. How do I know? Well, when I was in youth ministry, mm-hmm. there were like 60 churches that all went to the same youth camp in the summer. Like I'm sure I can find one of those in either in Arizona or other states or something like that. Like we're already showing them this idea of kind of this big tent mentality that the entirety of the Southern Baptist Convention has.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, the example you gave of the college ministry, mm-hmm. I had that happen at our winter retreat. There was a girl and, you know, her older sister was involved in the college ministry and then started to realize, oh, you guys are the ones that my sister does the college ministry with. My sister knows who you are. And we're able to start making those connections. Yep. Now, this person, you know, their church is over an hour away from ours. You know, they're a ways out, but now they're meeting people and they're going to be able to know, okay, when I go to college, I know a church that I can be a part of. I know mm-hmm. a community that I can be a part of. I know where I can plug in. It's like you were saying, you know, it's not that search. It's not that anxiety for, you know, what church am I going to be part of? Or even, I mean, the sad reality is for a lot of people, you know, am I going to be a part of a church? No, there are people that know me. There are people that are going to recognize me. It doesn't matter what university they're going to go to. By putting together these collaborations, by putting together these churches and having these communities interact, we're allowing them to have a broader network wherever they end up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And we teach them, look for the differences. Look for things mm-hmm. that you know. You know, our church might teach something that you absolutely love and another church might teach something similar, or there might be something that, you know, like, hey, maybe this isn't something I totally enjoy. I could still get along with these people. Mm-hmm. Like we're already ingraining these ideas that hopefully will stick with them. Even just if we're doing it at a fun camp or an event or something like that, like it's not a secret agenda, some hidden thing that we're trying to hide from these students, but we are in a sense starting to show them like, hey, start thinking through, what are you going to do after high school? How are you going to find a church after high school? What do you like? Even if you stay at our church, do you know why? Like all these things, it becomes this fruitful idea of like, it's okay to have other churches out there. We're not in competition with each other. We're not trying to steal each other's students or anything like that. We're working together because we love each other and we love Jesus and we're all working towards that same goal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I was just thinking as you were getting up to it, that idea of competition,
and
that,
yeah.
you know, at least for me, and you guys are probably better than I am at this, but at least for me, it is hard. There are times when that mentality starts to creep in and I start thinking of other churches as, you know, they're not the enemy maybe, but they are the competition, mm-hmm. right? It's yeah. I'm either going to get the number or they're going to get the number.
Yeah.
And even some of that fear sometimes churches have in collaborating and what if I lose students? Cause they're going to start going to one of these other churches, for whatever reason that may be. And so there are those moments where fear starts to creep in, and we start making decisions and leading our students based out of fear. And so one of the things I've always seen as such a huge plus in doing things with other youth ministries is that it's a reminder to me that that when other churches are succeeding, it's the kingdom that's succeeding. And so when another church is celebrating, when another youth group is celebrating, I'm celebrating with them.
Yeah.
You know, I used to have a youth pastor who'd call me every week or so on Wednesday night afterward, and we would celebrate together what God did in youth group that night. Mm-hmm. You know, and it would usually be the kind of conversation of like, you know, oh man, yeah, it was so good. And we had, you know, 75 kids there this week. And that was, you know, that was a new record for us. And they were so bought in. It was so great. And I'd be like, yeah, my 12 had a yeah. really great yep. time. We got so deep in the word yeah. and like it was. And so, yeah, there was that, but it was celebration, right? Because in doing ministry together, it had reframed in my heart that a success for them is a success for the kingdom.
Mm.
And so, yeah, and John, I think you had something to add to that, especially in terms of the smaller churches collaborating together.
Yeah, no, I had a long period of time where I was in a smaller context. And there is always, you know, genuinely anxiety about that because, you know, if I'm going to collaborate with these people, I love their church, I love their group. But realistically, they have more resources than I do. They seem larger than I do. So there's just can be a tendency to be worried about that sort of a thing. If I go and partner with this church, are they going to steal my people? You know, that's right. It's really sad that we think in that way. Reframing it in that kingdom mindset, like you talked about, is really, really helpful. But I think that can even help you to kind of consider who you're going to partner with. If you're really at that point and it's, it's sad because a lot of times it's kind of insecurity. If you're at that point, maybe partner with churches that are far away. Yeah. like genuinely, if you're going to be looking at doing a camp or something bigger, partnering with churches that are further away, number one, expands that kind of network of collaboration where they're going to be interacting with more people that are further away. So that kind of shows the bigger picture. But then, you know, if your student's like, man, I like that church in Timbuktu more than yours, good luck driving. I think there is kind of some maturity, though, in partnering with churches that are more in your region, because it's recognizing, you know, we're working on the same field, we're working on the same area, but that's okay. And we're able to, you know, work through that. We're able to be missional in that. We care about the same area. We care about the same things. Let's reach these people together. Let's do events that are helpful for us in our region. And being able to just have some of those conversations and to recognize, if I have my little youth group of 5 to 10, I'm not going to be able to do a whole lot. If I want to go to like Peter Piper Pizza or something small and do like a party, they might not have the minimum number. But if I'm able to partner with another church, I'm able to do that. It's something where if we're willing to work together, we're going to be able to do more. If we're willing to work together, if we're willing to be faithful with what we have, we can always do more. It's just, it can be scary, but it is so much more helpful for your kids.
Mm-hmm. Even to that, I've seen, honestly, personal benefit from like knowing other youth pastors and other youth groups. And like, maybe we come back from a camp and they're like, oh man, like that youth pastor was so cool. I'm going to go over there. And I also kind of like this girl that's over there or something like that, you know? And so they start going to this youth group. And then I get a phone call Sunday night. And it's like, hey man, why is your kid here? And I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, I'm going to send them back. And it's like, okay, that's good. Like if there's a desire to go to a different church or something, we can have those conversations. But there's also this interconnectivity where like youth pastors will look out for each other at this point. We'll start having these conversations with each other that it's like, hey man, I'm starting to see this tendency maybe in these students or, you know, one trying to jump ship to chase a girl that's going to break his heart either way. But like, let's talk through this. Or why don't you have that conversation with them? Like, let's work together for our students' benefit as well. Even if they're not my student, I'm going to look out for them. Or I've loved it. We go to the beach at the end of Zona or something like that. And man, just the fact that like you guys as churches have typically met us there, like there are other people that I know and I trust that are looking out for my kids in a public space. I mean, that's probably like way, way, way down on the list of things and a part of the benefit of collaborating. But man, how great is it to like, there's 75 kids on the beach and 25 leaders, maybe from different churches, but that I know and I trust and that are a part of our group and everything like that, that I can say like, you know, I know if this kid like eats it in the sand and loses a tooth or something, like I might not be right there, but hey, maybe, you know, someone else's youth minister or something like that can grab them and call me or something like that. And honestly, that has happened before. So I'm speaking from experience, but you know, those things are beneficial too. We can work together on those smaller things too. It's so great.
I know Josh brought a nurse to the beach. So
yeah,
so when he gets stung by a jellyfish
or a stingray,
I know who to go.
Yeah.
Get.
Right.
That's right.
Dude, every year I feel like one of us or someone else that we know is like calling each other like, hey man, can you have this person come check out this person? Or, hey, right. He's not feeling well, or they're not feeling well, or this happened. Like we all just need nurses on our team. That's totally separate. That's though.
Right. I was gonna say, you only get to this point though, if you have those conversations.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
If I'm too nervous to talk to the other church, then I'm never going to have it. And it might start with like calling a church and going, hey, do you guys have a youth guy? Can I get his email?
Yeah.
And it might be as awkward as that, but like one of the saddest things for me is I've had times where I've reached out and I know there is a youth guy, and then you never hear back.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
And it's really, really sad because then you start to, you know, think through. It's like, okay, maybe they just want to do their own things, but
what did I do?
And how much more could we do if we were working together? Yeah. That's one of the saddest things is, you know, even if you come to the table and it's like, okay, you're doing this, we're doing this, we probably don't collaborate as well. At least I know what you're doing. Yep. And, you know, maybe I can direct someone your way if God's calling them in that way. There are few, if any, sorts of things where I go, man, you shouldn't collaborate. Yeah. If you're at least in the conversation, you at least know what everybody's doing and it's able to, you know, have that kingdom mindset of, okay, God's at work. This is what God's doing. And if God's calling someone this way, man, I'm going to point them that way because maybe that's not in line with what we're doing. Mm-hmm. If God's gifting someone here, maybe we can see what he's doing here, what he's doing there. There needs to be a lot more of a wider mindset than, you know, my kingdom come, my will be done at my church. It needs, you know, the broader network view. Yeah.
And I think that applies to much more than just youth ministry, mm-hmm. right? That applies to all church ministry. One of my favorite things, and it's something I grieve, is that we'll have somebody visit the church, you know, and I can tell just by my interactions with them, we're not quite their cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will sometimes offer like, hey, I would love to give you some suggestions of other churches that you might connect with that might be where God's calling you. And I so rarely get the opportunity to actually give them those suggestions. Mm. You know, they don't ask because it feels weird to ask a church, do you know of any other good churches, you know? And I get it. But it grieves me because I know a lot of our wonderful churches in different areas, and I probably know one by where they live that's close and convenient and is what they're looking for and is going to help them grow. And I'll get the chance to have the conversation because it's weird.
Man, I just want to see you worship Jesus. I want to get you somewhere where you can.
Well, I think that's one of the things too, where like, you know, I'd be willing to help you make that connection. You know, we can go get coffee with this other person. You can see if I was wrong. That's totally okay. That's one of the key things. Even, you know, if you have a student that moves, a great way to kind of continue that collaboration is to go, okay, you moved in this area. Here's the youth pastor I know over here. Mm-hmm. I would love to set up coffee with you and this guy just so you can be comfortable and you don't show up to youth group and it's like, hi, I don't know what to do because I don't know anybody and just stand in the corner. Right. I want to make sure you continue to grow. And part of the collaboration is, here are guys I trust. Here are guys I've worked with. There are so many benefits for you in leading, but so many as well. And probably more for your students and the broader network, the broader family that they get to see and just go left and right. You know, these are my brothers and sisters. We're all together. This is a good thing.
Yeah.
I've even done so with small group leaders too. Honestly, like I know, and I love small group leaders at some of these other churches, like love their youth pastors. Absolutely. But they'll call me up and be like, hey, like I'm moving to this area, or hey, we're trying out this church, or we even had a family that moved, and it was like, hey, do you know anyone at this church that could disciple my daughter? And I'm like, dude, I know their female small group leader who is on fire for Jesus and like just loves hanging out. Like, you might not click with the youth pastor as much, but man, you're gonna really vibe with her, and can call up and on both sides of that line and say, hey, let's get you plugged in, let's get going, like. I feel like even small group leaders benefit from collaboration as well. I think all of ours probably get along really well at camps at this point too. We can call each other and like, hey, I can be with you in a small group, and I can be with you in a small group, and we can lead it effectively and well, even though we don't go to the same church.
Yeah, that's huge. I was actually going to bring up, and I think we kind of touched on it earlier, but there's such a benefit too. We're talking about in terms of resources of doing events together and a smaller church that maybe doesn't have as many resources. One of those resources, I think, are the volunteers.
Mm, yep.
You know, if I'm a smaller church and I'm doing something with a larger church that I know that I can trust, that I have a relationship with, I can trust that their leaders, even if I don't have tons of leaders for my kids, you know, I can trust that their leaders are also going to take care of my kids too.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so even just the shared leadership in doing joint events together, is such a huge benefit, such a huge blessing. I remember when we used to go to the trampoline park for our back to school bash, and when we'd bring all of our leaders in, it was like, you know, I'm not overly worried about my kids because I know I've got, you know, my three or four leaders over here that are going to be watching, but I also know there's the 12 other leaders from the other four churches that are also going to be around, and I've done enough events with them, and we've been together long enough that even though they're not my people, I know they're watching out for my kids.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. I've loved camp events or something like that where we've had a group chat that have included other leaders or something, and we'll get a picture and it's like, whose student is this? And it's like, we all just like come running in. It's like, what's going on? And you know, it's, and usually it's just for the benefit of like, we'll just kind of laugh and work together to make the camp as great as possible or something like that. And we just love our students. And I think that's true of, especially of volunteers. Like, volunteers love students and want to, even your students, even if they're not from your group, like they want to see all of these students have a blast, but also just have deep and wonderful conversations. And they're willing to pour themselves out, even if it's not, they're never going to see that student again or the fruit of that in their ministry or anything like that. Like, I know a senior talked to at this last camp, one of my seniors talked to a leader from a different church and had an awesome conversation about what's next. And they might bump into each other like one or two more times before this kid moves off to a different school. Yeah. And it's like, if not, then that's still great because they had a fantastic conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. I even think of the student you had 1 year, Seth, who talked with one of my leaders. Mm-hmm. Yep. and just had an incredible gospel conversation. And my leader was able to go share that with you so that later in the camp, you were looking and expectant and ready for that student to want to have a more serious conversation about what it meant to follow Jesus.
And then baptized him as soon as we got back from camp. Yeah. I mean, it was great. Yeah. Yeah.
So those are just neat pictures, I guess, of some of the fruit that comes from doing ministry with other churches, with other youth groups, doing it all together.
Yeah.
And obviously not everything. And I think we can even be maybe selective about who we partner with when, mm-hmm. right? The youth groups that I've led have never been, I'm not an athletic person. And so the youth groups I lead tend to not be all that athletic.
And yet you still choose to come partner with our group.
That's yep. right. That's oh, right. Man. So if we're doing a Seth ball night, like maybe don't invite us. there are different types of events that we can collaborate with different churches in our networks and different, but all of that comes out of having a mentality of doing it together, of collaborating together.
Mm. Yep. So. Yep. And if anyone wants to do a Seth Ball tournament at any point or wants to know what Seth Ball is, please shoot me an email. We're trying to get it global.
That's right. Is patent pending?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know how to file one of those, but sure, we can say it is if that's what makes it boom. That's
right. All right. Well, I think we're probably about out of time here. So thank you so much for tuning in to the What Are You Doing podcast. We're going to continue to come back month to month. I think sometime around now, there's going to be an announcement for our whole Arizona Mission Network about this podcast going on. So we'd love to have you join us. If you have any questions or concerns, feel free to comment or shoot us an email or however you prefer to communicate.
And connect with us so we can collaborate.
That's right. Connect with us. This is not just an ad for Zona Camp or for our Winter Fresh
or for our D-Now.
But
they definitely
if you're
are.
Interested, we would love to have that conversation.
So, come to all these things because we can't afford to do it otherwise. That's right.
Do it.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for tuning in and we'll see you next time.